Turn, please, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, I have a topical message for you today. It will make sense, I judge, in just a moment. Paul writing to the Ephesus church, speaking about the salvation that they had in Christ and the change that God has wrought in them. And in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us." That's my thought for this morning. His great love, wherewith He loved us. And I was thinking about the love of God, and I decided to research the subject. So I took a concordance, and I looked up every place where the word love was found. I then selected those verses which included God and His love, and the content of this message came from those verses. Now, as a preacher of the gospel, I frequently talk about the love of God. And I tell people that God loves them. But how does that translate to their thinking? Can they ascribe the attributes of love to God? If so, how does that apply to them? In other words, they know that God loves, but do they know that God loves them? Then what evidence is there that God loves them? What evidence? Like faith without works is dead, if someone claims to love one another, but love is absent any work, wouldn't that love be dead? That is, genuine love will produce genuine work as an outflow of such love. So if God says He loves me, what proof do I have that demonstrates God's love toward me? I submit that God has proven His love, that His love, as our verse says, is a great love, and that it is a love wherewith He loved us. I further submit that His love, unlike our own, will not fade or falter. It is my objective, then, to speak to you about God's great love. That is the title of my message, God's Great Love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house and these that are here. And Lord, You've heard our many requests. And Lord, we just ask that You be pleased to meet these needs and heal the sick and comfort the bereaved and the unspoken burdens and just so many issues. We lay them at Your feet. We ask that You would bless as we gather together today in Your name to honor You and bless Your word as it goes forth and that which You laid upon my heart to share. Help us to know more about You, about Your love and what You've done to demonstrate that love toward us. And we do pray that for those that are here that are lost, that they would recognize that demonstration. And we pray that by Your Spirit and power that You would convict and draw, grant eternal life. And we pray that You would grant repentance and faith that these lost that are in our midst might be saved even today. Thank You so much for Your love toward us. Help us to learn about that love. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. God's great love. Now, the first thing I want to mention unto you when I think about the love of God is, you need to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment, because the first thing I want to talk about is the character. Character. When I think of God's great love, I need to recognize that love is God's character. But in thinking about God's love being who He truly is, it's necessary to remind ourselves what love does. And so I ask you to turn to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we just read a few of the verses here where love is described and the accomplished work of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, down through verse 8, the first part of the verse. And it says charity. Now that's the word love, and it's the agape love. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So there are things that love will not do. And then there are things that love will do. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. What a grand reminder of love and its characteristics. So when I think about the character of God, and we talk about God's love today, you can mark it down that God's love will do those exact things. That's what the true love genuinely is. Now, there are several aspects in which I want to discuss the character of God. The first is that it's just simply declared. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, listen, the Scripture says, "He that loveth not God, knoweth not God, for God is love." That's a simple declaration. God is love. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be of good, perfect, and be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." That's just simply who God is. And the Scripture declares Him to be that. God is a God of love. Aren't you glad that God, the sovereign God, the ruler of the universe, is love? Can you imagine if He was absent love? What would it be? Well, it'd be the devil, wouldn't it? And it's corruption. But God is love. It's declared in the Scripture. But I also believe that this love is defined. And again, I just went through the verses and separated them out and plugged them where they belong. God's love is defined, first of all, by His person. And instead of trying to look up all these verses and references to the character of God Himself, God in His person is holy, just, and good. And so those items are a reflection of love, by the way. And those who do not love are not holy. Those who do not love are not just. Those who do not love are not good. But God is holy, just, and good. And so I submit unto you, when I think that God is love, and the Scripture declares for us that God is love, then we define it by simply His person, that He is holy, just, and good. But also by His pursuits. Will a person who loves pursue the right things if he's going to love properly? Remember those negative things in 1 Corinthians. Well, they're not going to do that, not going to do this. Listen, if you will. Psalm 11, verse 7. Here's God's pursuits. Psalm 11, 7. "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." God is a God of love, and what does He love? He loves righteousness. It's a demonstration of the love of who He is. And Psalm 37, verse 28 says, "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Again, Isaiah 61, verse 8, the first part of the verse says, "For I, the Lord, love judgment." It's a matter of justice. God loves righteousness, and God loves justice or judgment. And so Psalm 33 actually combines these in verse 5. "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Is God a God of love? Yes, He is, simply because of who He is, but also because of His pursuits. Because of that love, He pursues the right things. And true love in us will cause us to pursue the right things. And that's exactly what God does. And so I see this love of God being defined by His person and by His pursuits, but also by His people. Very similar to the pursuits, but listen, if you will, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness." What kind of people does God love? He loves those who follow after righteousness. That's what the Scripture tells us. A connected verse, Psalm 146, verse 8, says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." And so, by the way, dear Christian friend, you know that you're saved. You know you have eternal life. You are indeed a righteous individual then, because you stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It tells us that the Lord loveth the righteous. God, because of who He is and His love, will pursue the right things. And He will love the right people. And so this definition, I think, gives us a little bit more idea about the love of God. And so I submit unto you that the love of God and the character of God is declared, it is defined, but then thirdly, it is delivered. And what I mean by that, it is that love that God has is not isolated to Himself. We encounter people and we say, well, they're self-centered, it's all about them. Of course, that's not a characteristic of love, is it? But it's all about them. That's not true with God, because God is a God of love. But He also extends that love unto others. Listen, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. "The grace of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." You see, part of that was the love of God. So that proclamation that Paul made in his benediction to the church at Corinth, may the love of God be with you. Aren't you glad that we can have an experience and share in the love of God? You see, it's been delivered. We can partake of it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. As Paul speaks to the Ephesian church, he tells them that they might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Many things that Paul prays for that church there, but he says one of the things that he prays for is that they might know the love of Christ. Can we know the love of Christ? Should we, as His children, be enriched in the love of Christ and we can partake in it and share that with others? Absolutely. A connected reference in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." God didn't have to show His love toward man, but He did. And so when I think about God's great love, the first thing that comes to my mind is the matter of His character. That is who God is, and we gave you some other added information unto that. But right at the end, we mentioned how that love is manifested toward men, and I'm glad that it is. Can you imagine if God is who He is and done what He has done, but we have no knowledge of that love? Where would we be left without any hope? I'm glad that God has manifested His love toward man. And that leads me to the second point of my message, and that is the word compassion. So we see the character of God in regard to love and the compassion now. Now, how is the Scriptures defined for us the fact that God has compassion toward others, toward His creation? Well, there are several instances, and again, you think, well, I'm not turning to many verses. You'll get your share in just a moment. And so let me read these verses to you. But I submit, first of all, we find in the Scripture that God had compassion toward Israel. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, He says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob." And so God demonstrated, God who is love, loved the nation of Israel. Simple fact. A connected reference is Romans chapter 9 and verse 13. By the way, all these verses are in your bulletin insert, and you can look these up in the privacy of your own home later on. But God has His compassion not only toward Israel, but also toward people. And when I say that toward individuals. And so I just list you three examples found in the Scripture. In John chapter 11, it records for us, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Loved individual people, didn't He? Second example, John chapter 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John, by the way. Did Jesus love John? Yeah, and He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus too. Over in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21, talking in reference to the rich young ruler that came unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that it's written there, it says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him"? Loved him? God is a God of love, but He doesn't keep it to Himself. He has compassion, does He not? I'm so glad that He does. So I've given you an example in the Scripture toward Israel and toward people, but let's narrow it down a little bit more. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, well, it was also toward His disciples. Now that doesn't apply to us quite yet. It does in some degree in a reference backdoor entry, if you will, but if He loved His disciples then, He loves the disciples now. So I submit unto you, listen, John chapter 13, verse 1. Did He love His disciples? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now take encouragement, dear Christian friend. If He loves you, He's going to love you to the end. But He's talking about His disciples, the 12 apostles, and He says He loved them to the end. Connected reference, John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." John chapter 15, verse 9, "As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And so yes, He loved the nation. Yes, He loved individuals. He loved His disciples. But then bring it more closer to you and me, more in a general sense, He also had a love toward believers. Listen, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Did God love believers? Absolutely. Did He bestow His love upon them? Absolutely. And if we're called the sons of God, it's because God did bestow His love upon us. Now I want you to consider just an insert here, if I may. A sidebar. The Father's love toward His Son is directed to believers. And I think it's important for believers to understand this. These verses are not in your outline, but the rest of them are. It is important that you recognize that the love that Jesus has toward you is the same as the Father's love toward His Son. Now that's just amazing, is it not? That God loves me in the same way He loves His own Son is just mind-boggling. But here's the Scripture proof. John chapter 16, verse 27. Excuse me. Jesus said, "For the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved Me, and have believed that I came out from God." The Father loves Him, right? John 17, 23, 24. "I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." John 17, Jesus is praying to His Father. He says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." So God the Father loved His Son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, loves Him with that fatherly love, and yet He said that You've loved them as Thou hast loved Me. You recognize that, dear Christian? John 17, 26, again in His prayer, "And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." Isn't that tremendous? So God loves me as much as He loves His own Son, and that love can be in me. And He is by the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in my heart, that dwells in your heart, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you recognize the compassion of God? Yes, toward Israel, and yes, toward people, yes, toward disciples, but toward believers. So we read again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Therefore, we read in 1 John 4, 19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. I'm glad for the compassion of God. God is love, but yet He loved us first. And 1 John 4, 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so does that give you the idea in the sense that love has an influence, love has an impact? Yes, it truly does. The love that God has toward me is the same kind of love that I have in Christ Jesus, and I ought to love people in the same capacity. And so we read in John chapter 15 and in verse 12, Jesus says, "This is My commandment, that you love one another, how? As I have loved you." Do you find encouragement, dear Christian friend, to know that God is love? Yeah, that's a great thing, but the fact that God loves you. In fact, you love Him because He first loved you. Now, it's good to know about God's character being that of love, and it's good to know about God having love toward others. But is there any evidence in the Scripture? Is there any means whereby we may discern that God loves us, has demonstrated that love? Oh, we read about who He is, and we read about these statements, but did He demonstrate that? I believe that He did, and there's a great listing, of course, of verses. This is a topical message. I'm not going to read all these verses. I do ask you to turn to one Scripture reference. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7. While you're turning over there, when I think about this third point, is the conduct of love. You see, we talk about the character of God, which is love, and the compassion of God, which is loving others, and then the character, or the conduct, rather, the conduct of love. This kind of love that God has toward others will result in demonstration, evidence. It will be manifested, will it not? Now, I divided this up into two sections, and I'm going to ask you to look at these two verses here, and then I'll ask you to turn to other places as we get to the next step. But I want to offer you some examples from the Scriptures of God's conduct. Because He loves, and we've just seen some illustrations of things that He loves. Deuteronomy chapter 7, what did He do toward Israel out of Egypt? Because He loved Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and verse 8 says, "The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." What do you find there? We already read the text that God loved Israel, His nation. And because He loved them, what did He do? He demonstrated that by bringing them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and bringing them into the land of Canaan, keeping the promises that He had made unto the fathers. So you get the idea. These are the examples from the Scriptures. I'm just going to give you these references. And while I'm giving you these references, you might turn to the book of John and the third chapter. Examples from the Scripture, Israel to Egypt, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and verse 8. You'll also find in Deuteronomy 23:5, when God gave Israel deliverance from Balaam, the false prophet. Remember that story? It was because God loved them. That's what the Scripture says, because I loved you, I delivered you. In Psalm 78:68, God chose Judah. He did so because of His love. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 12, when God extends chastening, that's in the book of Proverbs. But we also find a New Testament reference, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, God chastens whom He loves. You see, love will do that, won't it? And so that's an example of love and its work. And then in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4, God's love is demonstrated in healing Israel's backslidings. He didn't have to, but because He loved them, the Scripture says, "I healed those backslidings." Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we read in that text that God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You know why? Because He loves them. That's Luke 6, 35. John chapter 14, verse 21, we see God's love in that God manifests Himself to believers. Why does He do that? Because He loves them. John chapter 14, verse 23. We see God's love in that He abides with believers. Why does He abide with us? Because He loves us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. God's love is demonstrated in the fact that He gave Himself for the church, it says there in the passage. So many things that God's love will do. It's demonstrated, isn't it? Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. God's love is demonstrated in that He rebukes and chastens. He says, "I do that to those whom I love." Now I've asked you to turn to John chapter 3. This is the real information that I would like to depart unto you. I mean, I like all these other things, and I think that's great content. I believe it's helpful to know who God is and God's compassion and His conduct toward these. But this second half, I want you to look at all these verses. And I want you to notice God's love being demonstrated towards sinners. Now, if you're forgiven of your sin today, you've been saved, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that's a manifestation of God's love. And what did God do because He loved sinners? Well, the first one is found in John chapter 3 and in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so think for just a second here. The character of God is that God is love. God has compassion toward the world. God so loved the world, but He then did something about that. There's a conduct, a response. And what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. And so if you today are saying, "I don't know that God loves me," then you need to understand the Word of God, and you need to understand especially these verses that we're looking at now, and as we continue with these offerings to you, is that to know that God died on the cross for sinners. And the reason He did so was based upon His own love. That's very important. I think that's essential. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. These are very familiar verses. I could quote them to you, but I want you to look at these verses because This is the crux of the idea here. I want you to know who God is, the love of God, and how He demonstrated that love. You're here and you're lost. You say, well, I just don't think God loves me. Well, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You got the idea. 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. God's love was commended. What did He do? While we were sinners. Hopeless, lost, undone, unlovely, unloving, and unlovable. God loved us and sent His Son to die. Wow, that's great love, isn't it? Can you compare anything to that great love? I can't. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes and says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have eternal life today. Why? Because God loved me and gave His life for me. Every one of us that are saved can rejoice in that. You that are lost need to recognize God's great love towards sinners. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 22. Or 2 rather, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5, 2. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. What did God do? Because He loved me. He gave Himself as a sacrifice to God for me. See that to be true, dear Christian friend? That's the kind of love we ought to have toward others. That's why He tells them to walk in that kind of love. But Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, the very first part of the verse says, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is what God said. Because He laid down His life for us. Does God love you, my friend? God laid down His life for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the covering for our sins. The only reason I have forgiveness of my sin today, that I've been cleansed, I'm going to heaven when I die, is because God loved me and sent His Son, and He was a propitiation for my sins, and my sins are covered in His blood. And so I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. So sinner, you need to recognize the only way you can have that salvation is through the provision of Jesus Christ. And that provision was made possible because God loved sinners. And because He loved sinners, He did something about it, and Christ died. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5. I'm almost through. You got three references to go. Revelation 1, 5. It says, and this is the praise to the Lord at this time, and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and what did He do? And washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'm saved today because God loved me and washed me in His own blood. That's great love, isn't it? Did God demonstrate His love toward me? He certainly did. So back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Therefore, and I finish my discussion of the conduct of God's love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. What has God done for us? He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Why? Because He loved us. You see, God's love works, doesn't it? There's a manifestation and evidence. And then for the last verse, turn, if you would, to chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Chapter 8 of the book of Romans. My last point is this, and I've just mentioned this briefly unto you. I want you to know that this love that we've talked about, who God is, what He has done, the manifestation and evidence of it all, is a constant love. Point number 4 is constant. Proof, Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Skip to verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love, which was demonstrated toward me, and God gave me eternal life through His Son, is a love that will always abide. And it is constant. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. So, dear Christian, take great encouragement with the truths of God's Word. And, dear sinner, you need to recognize that God demonstrated His love toward mankind and that He gave His Son so that you might have eternal life, that you might be forgiven of your sin. So, in closing, I simply say unto you, God is love. God loves us. And Jesus proves such love by dying for sinners. In our message today, we saw that God's character, that God is love. We saw the compassion that God loves others, doesn't He? And we certainly then noticed the conduct. Because He loves others, He does something about it. And so we've seen that great conduct. And Christ gave His life that we might have eternal life. And that salvation we have in Him is forever because God's love is constant. And nothing can separate us from that love. So that's an encouragement to every believer. But I pray that it's also a warning to you that are lost to recognize that without Jesus Christ, you'll lift up your eyes in hell, being under the wrath and judgment of God forever. You say, well, why should I come to God? Well, what did the Scripture say? God loved men, gave His life, so that you can have eternal life. You cannot ask for any better expression of love than that. God's great love. How tremendous. That's where we started in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And He loved us by that love. Sinner, we point you to Jesus. Christian, may you find great encouragement from the Word today as we think about the love of God. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. Just bless us to every heart. We pray for the lost that they might be saved, and we who are saved might be strengthened and find great encouragement from the truths of Your Word. Thank You so much for loving us as much as You love as Your own Son. Thank You for giving us eternal life. And Lord, cause us to love You and cause us to love others with that same kind of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.